I wonder at what point in the show the humming's going to start again.
We won't know.
We won't know.
It's a beautiful thing.
Is that what you envision when the show kicks off?
It's a beautiful, beautiful day. Yeah, see, you knew what I was talking about. That's one of the greatest songs. Like, if I'm in a bad mood, that's the song.
I know.
That is the song.
It's beautiful. I know what you guys are talking about again.
A Beautiful Day by U2?
Oh.
Ah, yes.
You
all
just
right.
have no rhythm.
Yeah, no rhythm. Welcome, everybody, to the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Feel Good Friday. It is Friday, August the 27th, 2021. Your host here, Sturch, Gooch on the couch, and, of course, AJ from Not the Couch Anymore. We got to get a new moniker for you now.
Yeah,
now,
I know.
Now that that's over. But how are we doing today, fellas?
I'm good.
You're good?
Friday.
Feeling good? It's Friday.
It's a big recording day.
It is a big recording day. We got AJ's, this. We got Fantasy Guy. We got
AJ's
Packers
podcast,
Pulse.
My podcast.
About damn
One
time.
Of my podcast.
About damn time is what I have to say about that. What?
Oh, I was
not gonna, you. You already have one up. I'm talking about Packer Pulse Man over here.
I thought you wanted to know about how I'm doing.
How are you doing, AJ, with your green drink?
I'm always doing good. I'm good.
Okay. So, all right. Good. Good little intro there. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, that means you're on the Chop Sports Podcast Network. So be sure to go subscribe to all of our podcasts. Today, the Squeaky Bump Time launched, and we have us. So there is two podcasts on a Friday. If you have missed the entire week, be sure to check up on the entire week's worth. Artie Lang joined Jimmy Palumbo. Those downloads are through the roof. I'm really excited about it. And, of course, all the rest of the podcast. For this podcast network, you got a little bit of everything. You got the MMA. You got NFL coverage. You got the Mets. You got the Jets. You got just a whole bunch of a plethora of options here at Chop Sports. So we want to thank you guys for joining us here on Friday. AJ, you have been doing the rundowns, which, again, I can't thank you enough, man. It takes one thing off my plate. I really appreciate it. So you're going to have to just run through what exactly happened yesterday because I don't feel like doing it. So.
All right, yeah, I'll run through it. Not much. Not much happened
another
yesterday.
Down sports day? What is the deal?
Yeah,
we need
football
to start, bro.
There was some big news in soccer, but we're not going to – I mean, it's Cristiano Ronaldo. He basically Manchester City withdrew their offer. Now Manchester United's the favorite.
How does that even work?
I have no clue because I thought that it said that it was a done deal, closed, everything.
So it works the same as any other sport, I would imagine.
Contracts, like length,
yeah,
and like when they run out,
you sign a contract.
See, now, I still, like, I guess I can get Mike and Laurent on this podcast one day, but, like, I'm still confused as to what league is what. You know, there's, like, 15 leagues a year.
I'm not confused by it because I simply do not give a shit. What league is what league in soccer,
nice.
MLS? I don't know. I saw that they had a pretty decent skills competition the other day. There was, like, I watched a one-minute clip of the highlights, and that's all I needed to see from soccer all year long. I'm good.
That's it. Do you watch the World Cup when that's on? Like when U.S. is in? And
No,
nothing? No. You AJ does, right?
I'll bet on it.
I mean, I was excited as shit when the Euros were happening. I was like, Italia! And I was trying to win money, too. So that also puts, just
exactly,
like you said,
yeah.
You bet on it, and that's actually a good deal. So I like that. I like that a lot.
Rest of the rundown-wise, we got Jameis Winston. He's a starter in New Orleans. We'll talk about that. We have a bold prediction for the NFL season. Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley. Yeesh. We're going to preview that. Yankee stock is through the roof. Padres Skyphone. We're going to go through those teams and how, they'll continue their runs. And the Red Sox get immaculate inning from Chris Sale yesterday, so that's basically the rundown. A very slow day again.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's fine. Jameis Winston. It was a foregone conclusion. Like, that was just going to happen eventually. I know a couple of guys on Chop Sports, within Chop Sports, were saying that it was going to be like a 1A type deal where Taysom Hill was going to get gadget plays. I still think that happens.
Yeah, I don't think it's a 1A. I think Jameis is the quarterback, and in certain sets, you're going to see – Taysom Hill come out for a series here or there, and then come back out of the game.
Was it last year fantasy listed him as a tight end?
Yes.
So you can like start him?
I think that they made an adjustment.
They have to make the adjustment now.
Well, what they did was they made an adjustment to that, I want to say, in real time. It was week 12 or that he gained tight end eligibility, but then they took it away. Or they took away his quarterback eligibility. They wouldn't let him have both.
Okay.
For obvious reasons, it's a glitch. But there's a potential that Taysom Hill plays a lot of tight end this year.
They don't have a tight end. Well, I mean, they're relying on their new kid.
Troutman?
Yeah.
I like Troutman, but he's definitely a better tight end than Taysom Hill. But there is a potential to see Taysom Hill at the position. You know, talking about Tim Tebow not being able to hack it, Taysom Hill is probably in the same realm when it comes to being able to block. He's a good football player, but yeah, not a tight end.
Okay, I get it.
Anyway, we're going to talk about the Saints next week, so we don't want to talk too much about them.
That's true. We are going to check on the Saints.
Yeah, that next week.
That is next week. So, yeah, no-brainer there. I think Jameis Winston is a clear-cut better quarterback on the team, so therefore he gets the nod. Whether he's successful or not, that's another story. And look, when he was with Tampa Bay, it's not like he wasn't successful. He just – I felt like that team was just middle of the pack every year, no matter what, with him at the quarterback, and it just kind of – That really didn't do him any favors when it comes to the turnovers and all the other crap.
The system, they were airing it out. Every pass was 20 yards downfield, and it didn't play well into Jameis's skill set.
Right.
Because he's willing to throw the ball anywhere, you got to have him throw dink and dunks like your boy Dak.
Dak is not dink and dunk anymore. He can throw the ball through the air.
I apologize to the listeners. I did not mean to get Dave started on the Dallas Cowboys.
It's a feel-good Friday, man. Come on, bro.
Yesterday. But, yeah, I think – Sean Payton is a guru, and he's going to get the best out of Jameis Winston. I think the Saints are going to be a little better than you're thinking. I don't think they're going to be the same team they've been, but I do think the Saints are going to be a formidable opponent this year.
What's the fantasy outlook? I mean, obviously top three, but like, do you feel like there's going to be too much? I'll ask the fantasy guy, too much on Kamara as far as like because of the quarterback play is a little downgraded from Drew Brees?
No, I don't really think it's too much on Kamara. I expect some regression basically because of how much Drew Brees loved throwing it to the running back position compared to a Jameis Winston. But I think if Jameis Winston is a good quarterback and he's serviceable, that's going to get them in the end zone a lot, and Alvin Kamara is going to do what he does and score a touchdown.
I don't think it really has much to do with the quarterback decision-making as much as it has to do with Sean Payton's play calling. If it's dialed up to Kamara, he's clearly their best weapon.
Latavius Murray still there as their backup?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, if you could just check.
Better overall.
Did Brees miss some time last year?
So what'd you say?
Brees missed time last year.
Yeah, no, that's right? Why we got, the Jameis Winston debate.
What were Kamara's numbers when
they were significantly worse.
Significantly worse, correct.
They went to 14.5 fantasy points per game.
Except for Christmas when he went and scored 58 points himself.
I'm cold on Kamara this year just because of the workload that he's experienced in the last three seasons combined,
mm-hmm.
plus the fact that he hasn't been great when Brees was gone. Now it's a whole different ball game when they're entering camp with no Drew Brees, so they kind of get to work with the ones. But
right.
I just still see regression from Kamara. But I thought that last year, and I was completely wrong, where I took guys ahead of Kamara that I should have I had no business taking. And regretted it all season.
So. Well, when you say take him in front, like that means what? What pick did you have where you picked
fourth?
And you took who? I don't even know. Who would you take at four?
Aaron Jones.
Oh, well, that's a homer pick.
But he was still.
But he's still. He was still a solid I believe pick, he's.
But Kamara was arguably at one point last year. He was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was the best back in the NFL last year in fantasy at a certain point. Mm-hmm. I think he ended up tailing off, like we said, when Drew Brees got hurt. But yeah, I made the mistake of. I wouldn't say it's a homer pick because I wouldn't just pick any Packer player.
Well, that's true.
I thought
like a guy like Aaron Jones is first round worthy. Devontae Adams, first round worthy. So it's not like So that with me picking Zeke 2 overall in my home draft this weekend, people are going to be like, nah, homer pick. Well, you know what? Interchangeable parts. I think it was you. I'm not sure. Maybe it was you, AJ, that said that like, maybe it wasn't. It was the Fantasy Footballers. Is that the other podcast? I'm going to stop listening to them because we obviously have a resident fantasy podcast here now. But, like, I'm trying to think. Like, they're saying the trade-off between getting, like, a Kamara, a Dalvin Cook, a Zeke, any of these, Aaron Jones, right? At the end of the year, like, you're going to get those big games, right? But at the end of the year, the difference is, like, 10 points max, like, overall. Like, sometimes you're going to have these bad games out of Zeke, right? But then, like, sometimes he'll score three times, and it'll kind of even out. That's why, like, Dalvin Cook was – I had Dalvin Cook last year, and he was just a bell cow, and every time he got injured, it was like, I don't have to worry about that. He's not getting injured. Like, he's not staying out of the game. But you said it in pre. You think there's a little bit of a regression there, right?
Yeah, we'll touch on that in the bold takes when we get to that.
Okay, well, guess what?
We're going to get into
We're
it.
We're there.
Okay.
So
well,
let's do it.
Well, let's get right into it, honestly. So my bold take is that I think the Minnesota Vikings are going to finish with a top five pick in next year's draft. Just looking
at... Whoa. Wait. Whoa. I mean, that's...
It's crazy.
I mean, so you think under Kirk Cousins, under Dalvin Cook, you got Thielen, Jefferson, you know, I don't even know. Irv Smith Jr. is their tight end. Mm-hmm. Like that offense, and their defense isn't bad. Where's your backing on that one? I'm just curious.
So my backing on that one is that Dalvin Cook is an injury-prone back. Maybe last season.
Yeah, but he doesn't miss time.
He missed time in his previous two seasons.
Yeah, but not last
time last year.
I don't think so, dude. There was not one time where I'm like, holy shit, I got to get a replacement. Like, because it was always like a game time decision.
I'm pretty sure he had 14 games played last year.
All right, so he missed two games.
Yeah.
That's not terrible.
But over I'm not positive on that. I could be wrong. All right. I'm not
over his career,
comments.
He's proved to be an injury-prone back. While I love Dalvin Cook, I just that offensive line scares me. Garrett Bradbury is very good. But besides that, I don't really see anybody that stands out right there. Kirk Cousins, I think, is a below-average quarterback, and I think that's going to prove so more so this year. Justin Jefferson, I see a little regression out of him. I see a little more out of Adam Thielen, but I don't know. I don't really trust the offense in this scenario. I think the division is tough. And besides that, I really more so think that this defense is not as good as people think. It has some named players like a Danielle Hunter and a, what is it, a Harrison Smith. But
love Harrison Smith.
But Breshad Breeland gets burnt on nearly every single route. He is garbage. And Patrick Peterson is not the same player he once was. He's not that lockdown guy anymore. So I'm really not seeing it from this Vikings team. And I guess we're going to go ahead and we're going to have to look at their schedule. But I'm seeing them maybe not top five, but I'm going bold. But a top 10 pick, yeah, I don't think they're going to be good this year.
All right. AJ is definitely
Boldest prediction.
That's bold.
I hate the Vikings. They're definitely not going to be a top five pick. But
sorry. So, all right. So, you got a bold prediction there, Chief?
I mean, this is kind of put on the spot because as much as I said we should do it beforehand.
You still didn't do it?
For that reason, I still didn't come
that's
up
fine.
With
fine. I didn't
but,
do it either, but I have
just
a couple.
Go with, I think Antonio Gibson finishes as a top five back, potentially higher this season.
So, you're taking a fantasy
yeah,
route
I'm
of
not,
a bold prediction.
Bold prediction NFL season. I'm not ready for all that. And what I do say goes on record. So I don't want to have some crazy bold prediction off the cuff that isn't
so
actually a bold prediction
so
at
you're
all.
A fan of what'd you say? Gibson, sorry.
Antonio Gibson.
I got him in the, well, we're not supposed to
not
talk
supposed
about.
Not supposed to, not supposed to.
I mean,
not
you're allowed. I mean, well, who made that rule up?
I did.
You made up a rule that you can't talk about the guys we have and own in
let's,
fantasy?
Let's take a poll. If anyone wants to comment right now in the comments, does anybody find it annoying when people talk to them about their own fantasy team?
So basically, you'd rather have a fantasy football conversation rather than who do you have on your fantasy
yes,
team?
Nobody,
yes,
nobody.
I'm with that. I'm with
nobody's
that. That's
worried
fine.
About talking fantasy football is one thing, but to say I got this, my one league this. Nobody's
that,
in your fucking
like,
league.
Is that like Sebastian? Well, yeah. How are your receivers? Well,
that's a great point. He doesn't play fantasy football at
no,
all
he does
because
not.
He's a pussy. But,
no,
but
yeah,
he's a
that's
funny
guy.
But you got to play fantasy football, otherwise I don't. I look at you.
You got to like football to
you
me
like
to
football.
To be even. Yeah, well, Scoop said it right there. He said, talking about your team sucks. Asking questions about your team is different. That's like, yeah, who do you start? Because that's a fantasy football conversation. If I have running back one or running back two, right, and I own them, and I'm like, dude, I'm in a bind. Who do I start?
That's,
then you're sparking
different.
A conversation.
That's different. And if you want to ask those questions, you could tune into the name not – named yet? Show not named
the nameless,
yet on Sunday
the nameless Sunday stream
at 12 o'clock, and I'll give you all my opinions on who you should start.
That's going to be fun, man. I can't wait.
So,
can't wait.
Yeah, don't talk about your fucking fantasy team, dude.
Fine, jerk off.
That's the end of it.
All right, well, that's that. So your bold prediction is in the fantasy realm. My bold prediction, this is gonna get... Remember, bold predictions are supposed to be bold, and 9 times out of 10 don't happen, right?
Yeah.
So the Vikings not making the playoffs and being a complete shitbag team, that's not going to happen. Your one has legs. Like, that could be a thing.
You want me to give you my reasons why?
Sure.
Ron Rivera.
Okay.
Same guy that led the charge with McCaffrey in
okay.
Carolina. If you look at his second half last year, Antonio Gibson, that is, he lit it up.
He
was definitely
Dallas.
An RB1 in the second half last year. The earliest part of the season, he was splitting carries, so he didn't really get going. He hasn't had the workload that you would see the guys ahead of him, like a Zeke, a Kamara, a Derrick Henry.
So he's fresh.
He's in a situation where the defense is good, the quarterback isn't,
mm-hmm.
and the offensive line is really good. So I think it's tailor-made for him this year to take that leap.
Good. I'll just say this right here. I may or may not own him. Already. So that's a good thing for me. I'm with it. I am with that. So I guess I'll give a bold prediction. Now, this one is, again, off the cuff and might make a little, you know, make people a little uneasy. Not uneasy, but just like weird. You said it already in pre, and I agree with you, and I'm 100%. The Seattle Seahawks will miss the playoffs in 2021. It's 2021, and their offense is still.
I should have used that one.
You should have, but like
nothing.
I kind of stole it from you. But I since I agreed so hard, like heavy hearted with that, I'm rocking with it. So the Seattle Seahawks under Russell Wilson, DK, Tyler Lockett, Chris Carson, the name that offense and their defense is what's going to be a little suspect to me. And I think they're in a division where they got to rock with the Cardinals, the Niners, and the Rams at six games. So six games of that, even if you split, right? Even if you split, which I don't, maybe you will, right? Maybe they'll split 3-3, right? That's just three wins. Now go find me the rest. And we'll talk about Seattle when we get to Seattle. But I think that Seattle, I hate Pete Carroll. I hate Pete Carroll. I don't like the way he looks. I don't like his face. I just don't like Pete Carroll. I don't like the way he coaches. I don't know. Not a big fan of Pete Carroll. Maybe because, I don't know. Would I take him as the coach of the Dallas Cowboys? Not over Mike McCarthy. Not my guy. But I know Chris would.
You would. Don't fucking
kill yourself. I probably would. But anyway, I would say that the Seattle Seahawks.
That's
a no-brainer,
by the way.
What?
That's a no fucking
I know. It's a, that is a no-doubter. We have a hot take from one of our listeners. I'll bring it up. Julio Jones will have less than 1,000 yards. That's not really a hot take to me. Considering the fact that they have A.J. Brown over there and they have a running attack that usually compiles about 1,500 to 2,000 yards a year, I don't foresee that being that bold of a take. And even if he doesn't,
if Julio stays healthy, he's never going to get less than 1,000 yards. If he plays all 17 games now,
that's another thing. We haven't really talked about But we haven't talked
it's
about
still
that.
Still Julio Jones.
No. I know, but we haven't.
For the last decade.
The next prediction was Julio will play six games. That makes sense. He's injury prone. We've seen it.
I have something I want to say. So I pulled up Julio Jones' career stats. I had thought over the previous 4 years he'd been a lot more injury prone than this. But if you go ahead and you look at since 2017, he's played 16 games, 16 games, 15 games, 9 games. So he's on the field a lot.
Yeah. We got another one. Mike Evans, over 1,000 yards. Lock.
That's a dog crap take, buddy.
I mean, also there's only one ball to go around in Tampa, and they got a bunch of dudes down there. So that's
obviously Mike Evans is going for the record to extend his record for the most 1,000-yard seasons in a row.
Well, so, yeah. See, I'll bring this up, and I was just going to bring this up. One more game. These stats are going to be so
I didn't think of that.
Different now, man. Like, now you bet, as a running back one, as an RB1, you better rush for 1,000 yards.
They're
going to
be different, but don't expect they're going to be different, but
it's a big difference.
It's one game. Some guys could have 20 yards in a game. Correct. It's going to be different, and it's going to be different at the top more so than the rest.
It's going to go from wear and tear.
Guys are guaranteed to get their touches, their 10 targets or their 15 targets in a game and get 20 carries in a game. It'll be different for those guys. But throughout the league, you don't see much of that. It's very top heavy.
Here's one that I agree with, but I'll tell you what. CeeDee Lamb will be wide receiver one for the Dallas Cowboys by the end of the season. That's going to happen by week 4. He's going to be wide receiver one. So
I could guarantee you I could predict who said that. Probably Jay Devlin. But anyway, we don't want to.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But I'm just, too much into, that's why I'm not throwing it. So anyway, yeah. So bold predictions: Seattle Seahawks miss the playoffs. It'll be interesting. That 17th game, man. That definitely is a thing to me. I feel like, let's just say, because that's how you have to start comparing things. You know, like when a guy runs off for, let's just say somebody got 2,000 yards this year running, right? Like a Derrick Henry of last year, and they're like, well 17 games. Well, you know what I mean? Like, well, you had that one extra game to get those extra yards.
Well, they used to play 14 games.
Correct. So I'm saying those stats are said like that. Like, oh, this guy did this, but that's when they only played 14 games. So the league has changed dramatically with one game.
It's said like that, but I don't see anything said like that. When somebody does something new, they don't say, oh, they just rank him on the list, and they don't say, oh, this guy did this with 14 games. They don't acknowledge that on everything. Only when maybe they're giving credence to the past. But when it's something that just happens today, say Derrick Henry breaks their all-time rushing record, I'm sure they will say it because they have to. It'll be the first season, right? But 10 years down the line, they're not going to be like – it's going to be forgotten largely.
I wonder if Emmett's upset about this because it gives another running back one more game.
O.J. Simpson, only running back to run for 2,000 yards in 14 games.
Is that that's a fact?
That's a fact.
All right. O.J. Also, the only NFL player to murder somebody and get away with it.
Yeah. Well, not really, but
I mean, dude, did you see what he said the one time?
That's a stretch.
I know, but did you see the one thing? He's like, I'm afraid to go back to LA because I might meet the real killer. My head was exploding. I'm like, holy, I can't talk about OJ Simpson, but whatever.
It's hard for me to talk about OJ because part of me dare I say, enjoys OJ as entertainment. His Twitter is amazing.
His Twitter's really good, and his
but he's
his
role murderer.
as
but no. He, when you kill people, you by default aren't allowed to have fans anymore, correct?
Yeah.
Unless you're in jail.
So by proxy, if you follow him on Twitter, are you supporting a murderer?
I mean, not by proxy. It's just you're like, just you doing are. It. It's not like this. It's like when you hit click follow on that guy, it's like,
oh my God, I am so sorry. I feel so damaged right now.
Double murder. And we got to stop making double murder jokes. I'm
just saying.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying it's he must never, somebody just said he must never look in the mirror. So he's afraid to see his killer. And if he looks in the mirror, there he is again. Oh boy. So yeah. All right. Bold predictions. But anyway, there's something going on this weekend that, again, I feel like they're getting burned. They're getting press, especially yesterday. There was a nasty press conference with Woodley's mother. Tyron Woodley is fighting Jake Paul. Jake Paul. This is Jake Paul's return fight. The last time we saw Jake Paul, he knocked the Christ out of Sonnen, right? Not Sonnen. Jesus Christ, Askren. So, for me, it's one of those things, man. Like, if he wins this fight, however he wins this fight, whether it be decision or he knocks out Woodley, which I don't foresee happening. But if he wins this fight, it's kind of time to just take him serious, right? I mean, yes, Nate Robinson, no, right? But then like Askren, fighter, yes.
If he wins the fight, I got to see. Agreed.
So, but if he takes out Woodley,
I got to see like, how the fight plays out. If he knocks out Woodley and he starches him, and it's like clear that he actually knocked him out, and they tried to fight each other, and he starches him, then yes, it's time to take him a little more seriously in the realm of like we're gonna keep watching him. So he's already being taken seriously because people are tuning in and giving him their money, but
I'm streaming the shit out of that this week.
Now, I don't know. I don't think you would realize what would happen to Woodley if he boxed a pro boxer. He would get tuned the fuck up. So until Jake Paul goes in there against a seasoned boxer, I'm not going to take him seriously in the boxing world. But in terms of the fighting and entertainment world, I already am all the fuck the way in on Jake Paul. I love it. I want him to get knocked out, but you can't not love it, bro. He's bringing violence, and he's at least got the public on a string, so I'm tuning in. The whole thing with Mayweather, he stole that show, even for his brother, the whole gotcha hat thing.
Mm-hmm.
He really does have the public
by the balls.
In the palm of his hand, we'll call
it. He's got the public by the balls.
He's just a classic douchebag that pisses you off, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, so and his team, did you guys see yesterday? Anybody out there see yesterday?
As far as the Woodley
press conference and Woodley's sister getting into it with Jake
sister,
Paul.
That was his mother.
With Jake Paul's... I guess his camp, the goons in the orange.
That's okay. So, actually, some more context on that. If you go back into the last fight and you look at Tyron Woodley go ahead and visit Jake Paul in the locker room, Jake Paul's lead trainer, I forget his name. He's an African American male. They basically,
bro. He's not a perp.
Bro. Okay, because if you're looking at the video, you need to know who I'm talking about.
Bro, he's the guy that
6'2" African American male.
He's a boxer. He's a pro boxer. I think he's held a belt.
Holy,
I'm not sure
shit.
The guy's name either. But
hey.
Yeah, he's a little more of a legit boxer than Woodley. And Woodley and him were giving the smoke to each other a little bit before the Ben Askren fight. I don't know if that was racist. Or
it
not.
Wasn't.
He's
just trying to. You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to tiptoe around the fact that he didn't think he could say the black guy in the front. Like yeah. You could say that. Like it's yeah. Not like
look. So
you know?
so where were you going with it before you named
them? I was
going
that Woodley and that guy have fat beef. Fat beef. That boxer and Woodley, they want to kill each other. And that was the guy who was talking shit to Woodley's sister / mom. We don't know what the right is.
Settle down. Mom. Settle down, everybody. We're reeling this in now.
All right, I'm going to reel him off the screen as he takes a breather.
So yes, the Woodley sister started chirping in this guy's face, and then some other big African-American male stood up behind the guy, and it got a little testy. Tyron Woodley got up off the podium and rushed over there. People got involved, obviously, but essentially, when you talk about Tyron Woodley's mom, and I, as an MMA fan, I've never liked Tyron Woodley.
I've literally mimicked him.
But the entire MMA world will stand up and back Tyron Woodley's
mom. That's the thing.
Mama Woodley has been a legend from day one.
Well,
she's always there hugging his son's opponents and things like that. So you see her in the ring giving love. But
she's not going to give love to Jake Paul. That's for damn sure.
Oh, you'll be surprised because she seems like the woman. Like, he's had serious beef with people. serious beef.
Well, it's not like she ever hugged Colby Covington.
She might have.
And this is true. I can ask.
She might have, honestly. So,
hey, Colby, quick question.
Point being is you can't disrespect someone's mom with them standing there and expect them to not fight you. But the beauty of this is it is there's to me, I don't think it's off limits. Personally, I think talk all the shit you want. I don't even think what Connor is doing is off limits because it's the fight game.
Off his rocker again.
It doesn't matter because he's probably going to get the fight that he wants when he comes back and he'll make another $10 million. So there's something to be said for being over the top, mm-hmm. but then there's also something to be said for earning a ton of money every time you fight. I take the latter. The latter.
Yes, that's All right. Well,
again, so prediction
time. All right. Yeah. Go ahead, AJ. Why not? Have you cooled down from your race baiting? Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm cool now. Sorry about that, folks. I'm taking Woodley. I love the plus money. I think he gives way more of a threat.
Was it +160? Yeah.
I love it as way more of a threat to Paul than a Askren, who's literally just a wrestler. So
yeah, but that I mean, look, when you train MMA, and Gooch would know better than me, and you know, other friends would know more than me, is that, you know, whether you're the wrestler, like when Bruce Buffer is announcing you, he's like, fighting, right? And he's like, he's a wrestler. You know what I mean? Like, that's just a style that he excels at. But it's not like Ben Askren's never trained in striking before. You know, you don't just roll around the mats, right, Gooch? I mean, I'm looking up
the rules for the Jake Paul fight.
What, so you know, it's not a real fight?
No,
he's trying to see if it is.
But I'm just saying, like, and that's just how I feel. Like,
but somebody, no, I can answer your question.
Like, they're calling Askren a wrestler, but that's just 100%
wrestler. He's not a striker.
But he knows how to strike.
Yeah, but he plods forward. He has no head movement.
I mean, we've all saw him, you know,
we're talking about a guy
knock the Christ out of him. So, yeah.
He has MMA striking. He doesn't have boxing range striking.
We saw that.
He can stand there and strike with you when there's a risk of him taking you down because the range is very different. But when there's kicks
involved,
you can't get inside.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different range when you're talking MMA. When we're talking boxing, he plods forward and he has no head movement and he's not a hard puncher. So there's really nothing to fear. You could stand in front of Askren and take his pitter patter all day. He has a nice little uppercut. I tried to like talk him up.
Remember that? We tried.
He does have a sneaky good uppercut, and watching him in sparring, I saw that what his game plan was going to be pitter patter, mm-hmm. bring the hands up, and then uppercut. He just couldn't get to that point.
Right.
For said reasons. He has no head movement, very slow, hip replacement. So we're talking about a guy.
He has a hip replacement.
He retired from MMA and then had a hip replacement. So we're talking about a huge step up in competition from Askren to Woodley. But still, Woodley's also still a wrestler. He's an MMA striker. He will have better head movement, I would hope, because he's entering the boxing realm. But if you look at Woodley's last four fights, he hasn't exactly
been
the killer.
Boring as shit, too.
And he was fairly hittable. Woodley's best defense is his takedown defense. He's not getting taken down in this one. I think Jake Paul is on a little bit of steroids.
Is that allowed?
I don't think there's a governing body overseeing this fight, so I don't know.
Do you think his power is increased a little bit?
I think that he's definitely on some stuff, but if that's the case, then Woodley should also be on some stuff.
That's got to be clipped up, by the way.
I also think that Woodley should be on stuff if Jake Paul's on something.
Well,
and there is
Woodley
no,
can't because he's a UFC.
No, he's
is he done? Contract's over?
Yeah, I don't think there's an overseeing governing body that's testing.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Fighters.
Triller. There's your body.
Point being is right. there's no And honestly, it's barely not even on Triller. This is on Showbox. But that doesn't mean that it's
Showbox?
Showtime Boxing. Yeah. It doesn't mean that it's a pro fight. It doesn't mean that I don't know what the sanctioning is. That's what I was trying to look up, which I should have done before, but
that's fine.
Not sure what the rules are. And if that's the case, then I can't see Jake Paul going into this fight not on some type of steroid. I still don't see him
beating Woodley. Performance-enhancing drugs.
I don't see him beating Woodley. The money is on Jake Paul because that's where the money is going.
Yeah, but, he's minus 200 to win.
Yeah,
I think the better money is on the method. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, if that's available,
I mean,
on the books, the method of victory.
I don't think he's knocking Woodley out. It's going to be a decision, but I want to look at how long the fight is.
Scoop Espo says Paul wins by decision.
And that prop is plus 900.
And what's that?
BetMGM, Jake Paul on points, plus 900.
Yeah. That,
Jake Paul to win by decision is plus 900?
Yeah.
How many rounds?
Bro, how is that not the play?
Because that's probably what they want you to take.
Of course, but I'm saying like plus 900 to win by decision.
I'm gonna throw $5.
I'll throw
bucks
a hundo on that.
Yeah, fuck it.
I mean, what do you do? What really? Like, wow.
I'm not putting $100 on Jake Paul to win because I can't do it.
I'm talking about decision. Just to go to distance and then win because they need them to win.
If I put 100 to win 9, I'm rooting hard for that.
That's what I'm saying.
What? I'm not trying to root for fucking Jake Paul. Okay.
Well, yeah.
And I don't think I really don't. It's plus 900. First of all, he's favored to win the fight, and then he's plus 900. They really think he's going to knock Woodley out then, huh?
That must be the play, right? What's the odds on the knockout there, AJ?
It's minus 150.
He thinks there's going to be a power punch landed to knock Tyron Woodley out. Well, that is insane to me.
His chin has been questionable.
I can't get behind this crap. This whole Jake Paul thing. I don't know, man. It's just.
I've never been more Team Woodley in my entire life.
So that's what I'm saying.
Don't get me wrong. I'm here for the Jake Paul situation. I don't care if it lasts 5 years. I'll root for him to lose every time, but I'm okay if he wins because it means another fight and another step up in competition. We'll see. He's calling out crazy names. He's calling out Usman will fucking kill
Usman
him.
Will murder him where he stands.
He's talking about Canelo. He's talking about...
Come on, I could see
him calling out Connor because he's got 40 pounds on him, but we'll see.
Even I think Connor would chip him up.
Connor's...
So you're taking Woodley to win. Is that where we're at, or are you just rooting for Woodley to win?
I'm rooting for Woodley, but I also think he's going to win. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think
he knocks Jake Paul out.
See, that's what I think, too. I'm in lockstep with you when I think that Woodley is going to knock the snot out of this guy.
Now, I will say...
And I'm sure this will come back to bite me in the ass.
I will say this. I've been wrong about these fights dating back to the Conor Floyd fight, which I never really thought Floyd was going to win that fight, or Connor was going to win that fight, but I could never not at that time where I was with Connor in my fanhood. But, yeah, I've been wrong about almost every single one of these bullshit fights since the beginning, so I have no idea, really. I could just be wrong. I might just be the MMA fan in me
now,
hoping.
Do you think that this Jake Paul thing, like, we're both predicting that Woodley knocks him out, right? I know Jake Paul's got the following and he's got the buzz and it's forever, but like, is it going to take one loss for him to kind of like, this whole thing will cool down because now all of a sudden, like, what's the buzz around you? You're just going to talk shit and then like all of a sudden you know what I'm saying? Like, this is the kind of guy that's like, he's been talking shit, but technically, biggest air quotes, backing it up.
No, I don't
think... He's not backing it up if he gets knocked out. I don't think it's over
because there's setbacks. He's young. If he really is serious about boxing and being a fighter,
yeah,
then,
I'm saying
then
the greats
loss,
do lose, but he's not a great yet.
But he's talked so much shit about so many people that there's guys out there that just want to fight him that are big names.
But I'm saying, like, all right, let's just say Woodley wins, right? Those names that he's called out, why would they take that fight now? And you're saying a payday, obviously.
A payday, and back to the drawing board for Jake Paul. Like I said, if he's serious about boxing.
Here comes the Jake Paul revenge tour. The next thing.
It's not even about that. It's about you take your lumps as a fighter, and we'll see. You know, from what I understand, he's taking his training serious. He's probably on steroids. So he's all in on his boxing career.
That's amazing. Right? So bold.
Where's the steroids?
When you're going out there and putting it all on the line, there's nothing to be ashamed of if you go out there and get knocked out by Tyron Woodley. Better men have been knocked out by Tyron Woodley than Jake Paul. If Jake Paul loses the fight, he goes back and he trains hard, maybe takes another fight of a lesser guy and then works his way back up. Back up to what? I don't know. But
well, that's what I'm trying to say.
Making millions.
Does the train derail with a loss?
Absolutely not. Okay. Just think about that. Think about this. Ready? He loses, he gets knocked out. And then in 8 months, they announce another fight with Jake Paul, and we'll say it's against literally... fucking
Masvidal?
Pick anyone. No, because I think they're kind of friendly with each other. But pick a guy.
Jake from State Farm and
Jake Paul fight. I guarantee you're going to watch it.
Can you imagine?
Are you not?
His finishing move is just the Jake from State Farm right or something like that. Just something like a good neighbor. Here it comes.
Pick any guy. You name it. You're going to watch. Nick Diaz.
I would love to see that fight.
You know?
See, that's. I guess he's got the world by the balls because he wants
Connor
to hate him.
Conor McGregor is like 1-6 in his last 7 fights. He beat Cowboy and he lost to everybody else. But if Conor comes back, he's going to do numbers, right?
Yeah.
Nate Diaz is like 11-13 in his last 25 fights or whatever the number is. And when Nate Diaz talks, the UFC listens. He might even get a title shot at welterweight before everybody else does after Colby. God knows why.
I mean,
right? He's not winning fights. It's
money, I guess.
People are paying to see
ratings,
him fight.
Yeah,
I think that's the same thing with Jake Paul.
All right. Well, the fight is this Sunday on Showtime, pay-per-view, Showbox, or whatever. So if you want to tune in to Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley, do that. We've given our predictions here, and I think we're all in lockstep that Woodley. No, you took Woodley?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're all in lockstep that Woodley. That, you know what that means. Jake Paul wins, yep, by the way.
Of course.
So, this has happened to us before. We said that Askren was just like going to root this guy, and it just never happened. So in any event, what else we got, AJ?
We're going to go to the AJ Sports update and then talk some baseball afterwards.
I like your style. Here we go. Go for it.
Word. So let's go into the Curtis Sells Houses Sports update. For all your realty needs, make sure to hit up the guy, Curtis Counts. Okay, so for the beginning slate of games, we've got the Giants and the Mets. The Giants yet again beat the measly Mets. Giants beat them 3-2. The Yankees and the Athletics have a high-scoring affair, but the Yankees yet again come away victorious for their 12th straight win. Chapman gets 24th save of the year in that one. The Orioles blow out the Los Angeles Angels 13-1 and only allow 3 hits. Wow. Reds go against the Brewers, and the Reds beat up on them 5-1. Let's go to the second slate, and we got the White Sox against the Blue Jays in a shootout, but the White Sox on the road with Carlos Rodon on the mound ultimately come away victorious. Arizona Diamondbacks with a surprising road victory against the Phillies, 8-7, 15 hits in that game for them. Red Sox and Twins, they go at it. Red Sox win that one fairly easily, 12-2. Chris Sale gets an immaculate inning, but we'll talk about that one later. And the final two games on the docket today are the Los Angeles Dodgers.
No, we won't, Chris. Yeah,
I know we won't. Versus San Diego Padres. That's an absolute eye-wear shutout by Max Scherzer, hey. And Yu Darvish gets a loss on the game, 4-0. Royals. Yet again, I mean, these Royals, they're kicking.
It's the Mahomes effect. That's what it is.
They're kicking during this late part of the season. They get a W against the Seattle Mariners on the road, 6-4, and that is the end of your AJ Sports update.
Appreciate you, bro. One critique, and I don't like doing critiques because I think you're doing really well.
Okay.
I
feel like I know where it was, too.
Where? You're going to be wrong because this is a very...
I think it was the Diamondbacks-Phillies game.
Why? What did you say in that update?
I feel like I like messed up my wording.
No. Here's where I'm at, right? when I say a score, I never say two in the middle of it. Like the Yankees beat the Angels 5-4. I never say 2-4. I'm always like, Yankees won last night 5-4. It's the littlest, dumbest thing. And I'm not telling you to change it. You do whatever you want. Do you feel that way too, Chris? Like, if the Packers beat the Jets 37-14, like, nah, man, the Packers beat the Jets 37-14. Like, just leaving that two out, that extra breath.
I get what you're saying. I don't think it's nothing wrong.
I would say
more so the 11 yet agains is my critique, but.
He said yet again a lot?
Yet again. It's probably. AJ's yet again in my like. Because I'm...
Do you like a lot?
I like a lot.
Yeah, because you hang out with Ashley.
Like... so, yeah, that's... Everyone's got their ticks.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, anyway, like I said. Well, there it is. Boom. And I, who does like I said? Is that Ibby? Or no, what does he do? Ibby does...
And again.
And again. No, and again. And again. And again. But yeah, shout out to Ibby and the Mets podcast. They're doing very well over there. Speaking of the Mets, they're not doing very well. But no. They said they're going on a run, dude. According to... who was it, man? Who the hell had that quote this morning saying that they're in prime position now that Baez and Lindor are back? They're going to go on their run now with 5 weeks left in the season. And I'm like, it's to me, too late, man. Too late. I'm sorry. Like, I know we've seen catastrophic collapses by the Mets from back in the day. But, like, I think the ship has sailed. I don't think this is a thing.
We're friggin' 7.5 games back. We're not climbing back. Get out of here.
Yeah,
no.
I don't see it either. But you did write the Yankees. Stock is through the roof. That's because they won their 12th. Oh, Alonzo. That's who it was. Thank you, Scoop. Alonzo was the one to say that they're going to go on a run.
The fuck is he supposed to say, though? We're done?
No. He can just be realistic and be like, yeah, it's going to be a tough battle. We'll see what we can pull together or something like that. We got our boys back. We're going to run this shit now. Like, you have no leg to stand on.
I don't mind it.
Sure, it's confidence. Great.
He's got to do. He's the leader of the team.
Yeah.
He believes in the teammates. The Yankees did it in a 5-week stretch. They picked up 8 games on the Red Sox, maybe even more, right?
Possibly more, yeah, because they beat them up too.
So. We'll see.
They won their 12th straight.
I don't mind him saying it.
And I believe it was Brian Casey on Chop Sports today. Good friend of mine. He's a Woodbridge school gym teacher. He said He said if the Yankees were to break that record of wins in a row, which, again, that's you've already won 12. Guess what? You got to do that again. You got to win 12 more to even sniff that record, which I believe is 26. I don't foresee that happening, but I will say it would be very interesting if they did it, because they would do it, break the record on 9/11, the 20-year anniversary, against the Mets. Like, dude, poetic.
Yeah, I feel
very
like,
poetic.
I feel like that's impossible.
But it's very impossible.
I will use this as a segue, being that everything that's happening in Afghanistan right now, to pay tribute to the fallen service members that lost their lives yesterday.
Good call.
12 or 13 people.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention it at the open, but things got a little out of control.
Yeah,
and
no.
Funny. And then I was like trying to figure out a way to push this in, but we were talking shit about a bunch of other things, and it was like,
Yeah, no. We'd be remiss to think that we can do anything like this, like what we're doing right now and talking sports and doing all that stuff without the men and women that are doing their thing over there. Very senseless bullshit that is going on across the pond over there. So our thoughts and prayers with the entire families of those fallen soldiers. So I know too many guys that were in the military that was just like, I remember when my boy Kevin left. It was right out of high school. And I cried like a baby. I was like, don't do this. Don't go. Like, this is senseless. Don't do it. But that's why they're called the brave men and women, because they're braver than me. I couldn't do it. No way. I don't even like playing paintball.
I won't even go in the ocean.
Right. So. That's what I'm saying. These guys are training in
terrified.
Right. That's what I'm everything. Saying.
I won't even eat green vegetables.
Right. So. Welcome to my world. But yeah, no. So anyway, yeah, not to make light of it, but that's definitely a good call. Good shout on that one. With that, I'm not going to talk about the Red Sox immaculate. Actually, you know what? I will, because I'm uneducated when it comes to what the hell an immaculate inning is.
This is 9 pitches, 9 strikes, 3 strikeouts.
Done. Okay. Next. That's done. The Yankees have done that a couple times this year, right? I believe
Chad
so.
Chad Green did it, I think.
Yeah.
And then didn't even know it. So look, it's
who, that's
it's
what I'm cool. saying. So if he doesn't know cool. it, then
did the Red Sox win yesterday?
Yeah. 12-2.
I wish. But like, it doesn't fucking matter. They lost anyway.
So anyway, let's pay some bills. Let's go to break. And then when we come back, we will talk about the 2021 Hotlanta Falcons here on our day 21 of which we didn't update, but I updated that in my head. Huh? Like that, AJ? It's on the fly, brother.
I love it.
So we'll do that. We'll pay some bills and we'll come back and talk about the Falcons. What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I'm here to let you guys know about some new happenings with Joe Pizzamenti of Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. This time around, I want to bring you guys up to speed on some of the amazing health and wellness products. These products focus on providing happiness for people, bringing out the 4 happy hormones in our body. That right away makes me happy. These products aid weight loss, sleep, mental clarity, and energy, just to name a few. They have even created your morning coffee to get your day started off right. That's not all, guys. Joe is in a giving mood, so now if you mention Shop Sports, he's going to provide you with a free discounted private travel website that you can use to book your travel needs. Even better, if you become a customer of Joe's, he's going to give you guys a travel voucher that you can use for up to a year and are only responsible for airfare and taxes. Visit attitudeofgratitudellc.com for more information.
Hey guys, this is Keith Ernst from the NFL podcast, I'm Your Football Team. Come check out our weekly football show where we give you our shitty and offensive opinions on everything NFL. We do this often by using the trendy terminology, I'm you. What's that mean? Check out I'm Your Football Team on Chop Sports to find out. Episodes premiere every Thursday. And I'm you if you're ignoring this, by the way. I'm you.
ShopSports.shop is the shop and is the place to be to go check out all of our merchandise. We are now offering free shipping. That's right. We're doing so well. We're going to ship this shit out for free. I'm lying when I say that, but it's a nice gesture put on by Chris Gucci. He's the one that, you know, said, like, we should do this. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm just, yeah. I tend to just not cave.
So now if,
like,
you have an abandoned checkout, I'm coming for you.
Because those abandoned checkouts happen because
trying,
of
trying
shipping.
To reduce the abandoned
like, oh, I love
checkout,
this shirt, right? But it shouldn't be $4 or $5 to ship. Like, I got my new Cowboys hat in yesterday, and I paid like $6 a ship, and it stinks, you know? But I did send a picture to Jimmy Palumbo, because it's literally my new Cowboys hat has the star front and center, so he can't talk shit. He's talking so much shit that I can't even wear some of these hats
Well,
anymore.
In other news that nobody gives a shit about, it's time to talk about the Atlanta Falcons.
Thank you, Gooch, on the segue there. It is day 21 of our 32 teams in 32 days, brought to you by our good friends over at Absolute Eyewear. If you go over there right now and see Craig or Janine or both on Main Street in Woodbridge right next to the train station and say the word Chop Sports, you'll officially get $100 off. So I don't even know the going rate anymore for glasses. You know, AJ, you wear glasses. I do too.
Yeah.
But like, when's the last time you bought frames and lenses?
So the last time I bought frames and lenses, I want to go ahead and say it was like $275. So what I can tell you is $100 off would be huge.
Yes. And that's only if you go over there and you say the phrase Chop Sports, or at least tell Janine when you walk in there, say, hey, I heard your ad on Chop Sports. So thank you to them. So thank you, guys. Thank you to Eyewear.
Next softball season, I'm going to be wearing the
goggles. The athletic
me too. Goggles.
I think so too. I think I'm going to go with it. We should just
only because Jimmy Palumbo talked shit. He said, "No, you're not allowed to play with those. You wouldn't be allowed to play on my team."
Yeah, I know, because you know some of the greatest running backs ever have worn goggles. I'm sure that's a thing. I'm sure he wears goggles when he plays pickleball. I forget even how the rules of pickleball even goes.
I think it's tennis where you can't move.
What? Basically. Do you know over there, AJ?
Isn't pickleball just like kickball but with a racket and a tennis ball, essentially?
Like, well, you're like running to the base?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any running involved whatsoever.
Oh, so that's why Jimmy plays it.
No, because I'm tripping
Jimmy
balls was playing right pickleball. Now. He's right. He was playing pickleball, tennis, but you can't move.
To see if he was going to be able to play softball. Running bases in softball is largely the same fucking thing. You know, like, because you can't run to first base.
So what the hell? Wait, all right, so pickleball. Give me like the rules. Do you know? Like, is it one on one?
Does it look like I know? I'm sitting here.
You're giving me the look like fucking. I don't know anything about this stupid
talking
sport.
About the rules. No, I just said.
But, like,
I think
he's not the only one I've heard.
I think it's tennis that you can't move. So like basically, it's nothing. It's not a sport.
Basically, it's not even a sport. So shout out to Jimmy Palumbo for playing pickleball constantly. So we start with the Falcons. Last year, they finished dead last. That's why we're doing it. NFC South. It's interesting. This team has made some questionable moves in the offseason, including, I believe they have a brand new head coach. So that's a thing. I think it was the offensive coordinator from the Titans.
AJ, could you pull up the Julio Jones Hall?
Yeah.
The Julio Jones what?
Hall. What they got.
Oh, yes, please. Yeah, do that. But it starts at the top. It's Matty Ice, okay? Matt Ryan is your starting quarterback. I almost want to say, like, last year he was rumored to be moved, right? And like, they were going to move on from him and trade him to San Francisco or whatever the case may be, you know? Whatever rumors started with Matt Ryan. I think he's going to have, like, some kind of revenge tour this year, man. I'm hard-pressed to say that because of the fact that he lost wide receiver one.
He's the new version of a Carson Palmer, where he could get it done with the right pieces around him, and I think he'll put up decent counting stats, but he's going to throw some picks, he's going to get sacked a lot, and it's going to be hard for him to stay healthy because that offensive line, which I'm sure you're going to get to, is just not great.
Yeah, well, it starts at the, well, do you have that? I'm sorry, AJ, did you pull up the trade details?
Oh, yes, I did. So the Falcons sent Julio Jones along with a 6th-round pick to the Tennessee Titans in exchange for a 2022 second-round pick and a 4th in 2023.
That's not a lot. Like, when we were talking, when people started the rumors that Julio was going to get moved, we were in agreement, I think, that it was going to cost a first, no? At the very least?
Yeah.
Somebody's first. Yeah, like, somebody either down the line.
But
like,
they were so desperate to trade him because
of that contract.
Knew that.
Yeah. So they settled for
DeAndre
a second.
Hopkins,
that's
they got
horrible.
The DeAndre Hopkins trade was worse, but I think in the Julio cases, they literally, he's on the tail end of his contract. He's not about to enter the prime of his career like a Hopkins was. But Julio, I think him leaving is probably what's best for Atlanta, because what are they really going to do with Julio this year that they're not able to do with Pitts?
Well,
they're going to win 6 games.
Yeah,
regardless.
I mean, we'll start with the running back at least. This is now somebody got paid based off of his replacement year that Mike Davis had because of Christian McCaffrey. So McCaffrey tried to come back. It never really panned out. Mike Davis was the bell cow for the Carolina Panthers, i.e., that gets you paid sometimes, and it got Mike Davis paid. I don't even know the contract.
I can't remember the last time an Atlanta Falcon running back was fantasy relevant.
Yeah, and I don't think
I guess it was like the prime of Devonta Freeman's.
Now, there is something to be said as far as draft ADP with Mike Davis. I think he's going in like 7th rounds, like late. I've seen
him. And he's RB1.
And he's RB1, so there is something there.
And you look at the rest, it's like
flex guy if you miss out on those running backs early, but I'm not excited about him one bit.
Yeah, I mean I find it hard pressed. I mean, we have a kid 2019 5th-round pick, Quadri Olson. Allison, sorry, as this backup. And then when you look deeper than that, they have Cordarrelle Patterson listed as a running back this year. So it's like that guy really just His wide receiver days are over. And then somebody I do know is Deonta Foreman. He was a former Texan. He's also on the roster right now. So there's nobody that really pushes it for me. I mean, Mike Davis is going to have to be the bell cow.
I have hope that Foreman actually climbs his depth chart quite a bit, but
I don't think it's that hard to do.
No, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. This running back room is pissed. Be real about it.
The Falcons are going to throw the ball a lot.
Yes, they're going to be. Matt Ryan might be one of those late flyers you take on just because of the volume of throws. He's going to be 45 to 50 attempts a game. So now, because of the dismissal of Julio Jones, that leaves Calvin Ridley as wide receiver one. Now, a lot of people are talking heavy about this guy because obviously you saw what he could do last year, but you also saw that based off the fact that, you know, he's usually getting like cornerback two.
Was it last year that Julio missed all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and but
Ridley,
he did shine.
Ridley showed out in that time. And now they have Kyle Pitts, so it's not like there's nobody.
Correct. Yeah, I guess.
Russell Gage
was definitely talked about, yeah.
I think Ridley is a clear-cut top 10 receiver in the NFL this year. Clear-cut.
They got Tajay Sharp over there, too.
Potential top five when we're talking about counting stats by the end of the season.
All right, so now
this year's Diggs.
I bring this to question. What role does Kyle Pitts play? This was the big splash that everybody kind of predicted that was going to happen in the draft. Now I'm wrong with this. All right, Julio was already moved, correct? Before the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why. All right. So that's why you get a Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is lined up as a receiver more than he's almost lined up as a tight end in college. He's that build. I don't know if they can throw him right in there because I love Hayden Hurst. Love him.
You could love him all you want. He's
as a guy,
playing.
As a, like a person.
He's not
like,
playing over.
No, I know. But like I'm saying if they run two tight end sets or they spread him out, Hayden Hurst is more than capable of coming in there getting something done.
Arthur Smith loved passing to the tight end as well as offensive coordinator.
He was rocking with Jonnu last year.
So I think that Kyle Pitts has a huge year this year.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts is, you know, he's... Listen, until I was blue in the face, I was telling Cowboys Nation to calm the hell down because there was a lot of people saying, like, let's do Kyle Pitts. And I'm like, you're out of your minds.
Very rarely pan out. Look it up.
What, rookie who?
Rookie tight ends.
Tight ends.
They don't ever pan out.
I remember looking at
Hockenson going into the year saying, oh, this guy could be really good, and now is the year that he's
When was the last really time off the top of your head that a tight end was taken high and panned out? Gronk? Was he even taken high?
Probably wasn't even taken high.
No. Was Hernandez taken high? I forget.
I think he was taken high, yeah.
I would say God rest his soul.
Noah Fant is panning out.
Noah Fant? Was he a first-round pick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard he got injured today.
Noah Fant got injured?
Yeah, in the morning. All right.
Breaking news there.
Sideline with a leg issue.
Oh, boy. And who do they have behind him? Jake Butt? Is that still the guy?
Yep, they do have Butt.
Yeah, I like that.
Either way, the tight end position is hard for rookies to kind of come in and shine. Mm-hmm. I don't think that Pitts really fits that mold because I don't think they're planning on using him as a traditional tight end like you stated earlier. They're going to be lining him up a lot at receiver.
Right.
And I look at him more like a Jimmy Graham mold early in his career.
Man, how good Jimmy Graham was in the beginning. I mean, he still can get up there and get a couple balls,
right
but
away,
boy, he was
but
good.
You could definitely count on Pitts to be productive. I wouldn't, just keeping it in the fantasy realm where I'm at basically all the time.
I mean, you have to, unfortunately for the Falcons, you have to consider the offensive line to be the detriment to this offense.
Keeping in the fantasy realm, like I was saying, Pitts is being drafted way too high, I think.
I actually don't mind his ADP at all.
Where's his ADP right now?
Like fifth round.
That's high, do you?
I think it's high, yeah.
And for a tight end. But again, this is a hybrid. Like, this might be a different play.
I think he's a freak. I think he's that dude.
So, I'm not picking a tight end.
You know, in fantasy football, how hard it is. If you don't get the first, like, four tight ends, it's a crapshoot. You know what I'm saying? So maybe even five. Adding a Kyle Pitts, that, you know.
I'll definitely take him on my squad. I mean, I'm looking to look later in the rounds for a tight end, but if he falls to a sixth round, a great value, I don't see why I wouldn't take him there. But something I want to mention to you guys, as Chris was saying about previous first-round tight ends, mm-hmm. since 2014, these are the first-round tight ends.
Please.
Eric Ebron, O.J. Howard, Evan Ingram, David Njoku, Hayden Hurst, T.J. Hockenson, Noah Fant.
The one out of that list that jumps out at me that disappointed me the most is David Njoku, because I feel like that guy was a freak, and like he just hasn't panned out yet. Like every year I pick him up.
The NFL chews these people up and spits them the fuck out. I mentioned it a couple weeks back when we were talking about the Browns maybe with mm-hmm. Njoku, and Jamal Adams literally fucked and ruined his career in one hit, broke his wrist and gave him a concussion. He didn't come back, I think, until like week 16, and it was week 2 when it happened.
Yeah, he hasn't been the same since.
Yeah.
He shook that man.
And then they went out and signed Hooper. So he really hasn't had the opportunity either.
Yeah. Flipping it over to the defensive side of the ball, that's where they this is bad news. Bears, and not for nothing, Dan Quinn was your head coach last year. His defense was good when he was in Seattle. He had a couple decent players on that roster, but here's the newsflash. They all jumped ship and joined Dan Quinn in Dallas, the good players at least.
Hope.
Yeah, again, yes, I hope. But now when you look at this defense, Grady Jarrett is still that dude, I think. He still has the motor, but that's really it on the defensive line. And then, for God's sakes, I mean, A.J. Terrell I wanted on Dallas when he was drafted. He's a good cornerback, but again, you know, who knows what he's going to – this defense is just a smorgasbord of nobodies. And that's – and look, you're in the NFL, you're a somebody. I'm not going to say nobodies, but –
yeah, they're going to struggle stopping.
They're going to struggle about it to put up points. Which
is why I'm so high on Ridley this year.
I'm higher on Ridley because I think of volume. I think of the fact that they're going to need him so bad to come up in the clutch late in these games. And it's going to be it's going to be tough sledding for that. So bring up the schedule, AJ. I know we'll be on screen for this. The over under is set at 7 even, so 7 wins. I do have a note here saying hammer their overs, so that must have been AJ.
That was for totals for games, individual games. I'm not saying bang the over on the Falcons win total.
The thing is with the Falcons, they might be smoke and mirrors in the beginning of the season. The way I say that is because people might get overhyped if they pull out a win against Philly, New York, and maybe the Jets, or the Giants and the Jets, they sweep New York, right? So out of that first 5 games, maybe you have them at 3-2. Maybe. No? Gooch is just shaking his head no.
No fucking way.
So who do they lose all of them? Can they win any of those games?
They
could
beat Philly. I would say they could beat any of the teams except Tampa, but they're not going to. I don't think they're going to beat
them. So if they start off 0-5?
No, they're going to
give them one win against Philly?
They'll probably beat the Jets.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Sugma.
I don't know, man.
And possibly I like Philly. So there. I would say first 5 at best, 2-3.
Okay, I got them at 3-2, just because I'm being optimistic. But anyway, no, then they get an early
bias because they're playing 2 teams in your fucking division.
But I think they lose one of those.
Wow, they play all 3 teams in the East.
Yeah, right in the first 5 games, they play the entire NFC East besides Dallas.
That's crazy.
All right. Anyway, that's good, though. So I'll be a big Falcon fan in the first 5 weeks of the season. So shout out to Jorge. Shout out to my boy Cliff. A bunch of Falcons fans Ibby. That I know. Ibby. I got to dismiss that one. Up. That'll be a text. That's an easy, fast text, too, as soon as this goes up. So then the early buys. These buys are tricky, man, because now with 17 games, if you get a bye in week 6, that means you're playing literally all those games straight without a break going forward. Yeah,
but look, there was a week 4 bye or a week 5 bye last year, and with
I know, really, but I just feel like, I don't know. Maybe
I think when people are
overanalyzing this, the
bye
week,
you don't know if the bye week is a good time until the season starts and guys start falling, and you'd be like, wow, that bye came at the perfect time.
Right.
It could be week 4, and they could be hurt. Everybody hurt, and they'd be like, wow, we really need this bye week to come.
True.
And then get healthy for the stretch.
They come back for the bye. They got Miami, Carolina, New Orleans, and then my Dallas Cowboys. Looking at that, hard pressed to find any wins. And then I'm just being unoptimistic for the Cowboys, but like I don't think they could beat Miami, Carolina, or New Orleans in New Orleans. So that's why I give that one. If they're going to split those games, I'll give the one to New Orleans in New Orleans. So they might be in trouble there. Then they got New England, probably find themselves a win at Jacksonville. And then, of course, you got Tampa Bay, second time around, Carolina, San Francisco. They'll probably find a win in Detroit, or versus Detroit, and then at Buffalo and close the year with New Orleans. 7 wins, bro. That, to me, super duper high.
That's bonkers.
Yeah, that's a little high for this. Maybe they're thinking that they have something in that offense, but again, that offensive line is going to hinder those guys a lot. It's going to be tough sledding for this team. That Jets game, is that in England, London?
Yep, London. Yeah.
Okay, 9:30 in the morning. They're not better than a 9:30 in the morning football game, by the way.
They're not winning 7 games. So they're not winning 7 under. Games. I'll just give them the benefit of the doubt and go 6.
I'm going to go 6, too. So 6-11 for me, 6-11 for Gooch.
We do think they're going to score some points.
4-13.
4-13. He thinks that the Falcons are going to absolutely stink it up.
I have them 1-9 through their first 11 weeks.
It's going to be tough. Tough sledding. So, I mean, look, again, not the sexiest picks when it comes draft time next year, but they're going to have to address the offensive line. You know what I mean? That's the way you have to go. You'll probably have a top 6, top 7 pick again. And then, yes, it was cute for you to add Kyle Pitts, and it helps your offense weapons-wise, but what good are these guys if there's no time to throw the damn football? But then also in the same regard, they might be looking for a quarterback. You know what I mean? Like that could be a thing. They do sign Josh Rosen. I don't foresee that being ever a thing where he can be the starter going forward. But, after Matt Ryan. But this might be Matt Ryan's last ride. And if it is, you got to address it or you got to make a trade. Huh?
It's going to be a bumpy one.
It's unfortunate easy. For him. And he's not going to get himself to a Super Bowl. I mean, it's unfortunate. If Matt Ryan wants to leave in the sunset, you know what I'm saying? Like, kind of do that. Maybe you need to find yourself in another home as you end your last 2 years or 3 years of your career, because it ain't going to be Atlanta. It's not. So bad year for Atlanta. Sorry about all those Atlanta Falcon fans that we do have that watch and support Chop Sports, but they have to know. They have to know going into this, it's going to be tough sledding. Tough year for Ibby, you know, being a Mets and Falcons fan. I hope he has a basketball team that he likes, but I don't think he does. He might as well just pick the Lakers or something like that just to try to get his mojo back. But anyway, that was day 21 of 32 teams in 32 days, brought to you by Absolute Eyewear. Thank you guys, of course, for supporting that. I'll end it like this. We have any weekend plans, fellas? Anything going on? I mean, I know you guys are recording today. I'm hightailing it out of here to start singing Sweet Home Alabama with Lynyrd Skynyrd and just drink a bunch of beers.
I very rarely make plans. So, no, I have just no weekend on the plan. Whim. I'm going to go with it tonight. Maybe a little date.
I think I'm going to
date night.
All right. Cool. Cool. She deserves it. You know, she puts up with your shit. I think I'm going to try to get myself a custom suit. Yeah, I think it's time, because there might be a shot of me may or may not be going back to ring announcing. And I don't like the rest of my suits. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll figure that out. Oh, I do have my home draft on Sunday. Those are always fun.
Oh, I do have fantasy drafts this week.
Yeah. I got Sunday. I got mine Sunday. That's my home draft. My dad loves it. You know, as much as sometimes he's always like, you might want to host it this year. This is the last year I'm doing it. That guy is more obsessed with fantasy football than anybody I know. His work has gotten a ridiculously amount slower since I've worked there. That's for sure. When I was working there with him, he was working me, bro. But now it's like he's seeing things before I'm seeing things when it comes to the waiver wires and shit. So I know he's got the time. So, Dad, get ready, because it's coming. We're all bringing the smoke on Sunday. I can't wait. Pizza party. So, with that being said, for Sturch and Gooch on the couch and AJ Bascone, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. And be sure to listen to us each and every day. We go live at 11 o'clock and we drop the podcast around 12:30. So thank you guys for your support, and we'll see you guys on Monday.
You made a mojo reference 2 days in a row, and that's really fucking sad.
Mojo moment.
Pathetic.
Early fuck around. We'll be right back.